Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to call Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Today's Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. Let the record reflect the time is 3:31 p.m. Today, we're going to continue with the effort we started a week and a half ago to meet remotely. We have all of the senators on the committee inside the building here today. So just don't let the backgrounds fool you. If you see it on Teams, they're all here inside their offices. We're doing this to keep ourselves spread out from a risk mitigation perspective. And we've had some recent changes in the Senate that have allowed us to be able to do this and still move bills and get our work done in a safer, more efficient environment. So that's what we're pressing on with. We have available on the Teams link today, we have Vice Chair Senator Reinbold, we have Senator Costello, Senator Holland, and Senator Kawasaki. Myself, Chairman Schauer, will stay here so we can run the all the stuff that needs to be run to make it work, keeping us separated. We also just like to welcome, we do have Senator Stevens in the room with us today as well. He's the only other member besides those. Let's see what I've got. Make sure I'm not missing my script. Yep, we're good. If you are in the room, please go ahead and mute your cell phones or silence your cell phones. And for those on Teams, again, just as a reminder, please mute yourself when you're not talking so we don't get the feedback. We've got a lot of folks up there today. I will remind my other colleagues and committee members that I can see you on Teams today, should be able to, but if for some reason as we're working through Teams you need to speak and I don't see the hand raise or maybe your screen pops off or something happens, we do have this text thread that we started as a suggestion. So just let me know that you need to speak on the text if I'm not responding to you, and that way I can call in and we'll go through it that way. But the mute will help. All right, staff assisting us today. We have Naresh from my office behind us. He'll be helping us out. We've got Kerry Cooper with Senate Records, and we've got Carson with the LIO. There is a procedural adjustment to how we're doing this. Like I said last week when we started this, trying to mitigate risk a little more effectively, policy-wise. So what we're going to do with some lessons learned as we've been talking our way through operating remotely to try to get it as tight as we can get it, we're using Teams, which I can see everybody up here now, plus the text thread. The other thing we're going to do is we know everybody's in the building, and we'll go through that here in a minute. I'm going to have everybody check in with where you are, just for the record, plus the room number that you're sitting in. And the way we will also do this is as we move bills out today, assuming that they move, because I have an intent to move a couple, and some paperwork will need to be signed, as we procedurally adjusted that yesterday in the Senate, those documents will sit here with us in this room. Once, to not slow the process down, the hearing or the meeting is over, I'm going to ask each of you to just come on down here individually so you can quickly sign the forms and you can go back away so we won't be violating any time or rule distance requirements. So there you go. All right. Talked about your hands. Should be good there. We're going to go ahead and get the roll call today of everybody so we know where you are for the record. So just state your name, and I'm going to go through and call each one of you where you're physically located and your office number. So we'll start off with the Vice Chair, Senator Reinbold.
427.
Thank you very much. And you are in the building, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Just want to make sure we can put it on here. We've got Senator Costello.
Hi, I'm here in my office in room 117 in the Capitol building.
Thank you, Mia. Senator Holland.
113 in the Capitol building.
Thank you, sir. And Senator Kawasaki.
Yeah, this is Scott Kawasaki. I think I'm in room number 7 in the state capitol.
Okay, copy. Thanks. Sometimes I don't know what number I'm in either. Thank you very much, folks, for doing that. Appreciate it. This is just so that we know exactly where everybody is, that we have a quorum to do business, and that we have now outlined procedures and making them better so we can operate efficiently. So here we go. All right. Continuing on, we have seven items on today's agenda. The first two will be bills previously heard. We have SB 71, Council on the Arts. And by Senator Stevens, who is here with us today in the room. We also have SB 84 land vouchers, PFDs, from the governor. With SB 71, we're going to go ahead and open up public testimony, realizing we did not get that done before, just so that we have it done. Then we'll bring the bill up to move it out of committee. And with SB 84, we're going to bring the bill up and intend to move it out as well, assuming we don't have any other holdups. After it voted to move the bills out of committee, we're going to wait and continue once we kind of clear the room out, and then we'll move on. And like I said, all of these will be here for committee members to sign at the end of the day so we don't slow the process down. Following the bills previously heard, we're going to be hearing testimony from three boards and commission appointees for the governor. We've got a few to get through in the next few weeks to get those cleared off the docket. Once each of those have been heard on the record, we'll move the introduction of two new bills today, SB 77, Use of Internet for Charitable Gaming, Labor and Commerce's bill, and then SB 47, Vehicle Registration, Persons with Disabilities. Do we have any questions or comments from committee members before we begin? Okay, seeing no hands raised, because I can see everybody now, that's awesome. We're going to continue with the first item on today's agenda. That's going to be SB 71, Council on the Arts, Place Management. This bill was previously heard on March 9, 2021. We're going to go ahead and open a public testimony on the bill. And following testimony, I'd like to bring it up with the intent of moving it out of committee. All right. So just so that everybody is aware of it, we do have Jeffrey Schmitz, Director of DMV, on board for questions with us today. We have Andrea Noble, Executive Director, State Council on the Arts, available for questions. And it looks like we may have somebody for a testimony. So we're going to go ahead and open up public testimony on SB 71 at this time. Do we have anybody in the room that would like to testify? Seeing none, we're going to move, I believe, to June Rogers. I believe that's what she's here for. Go ahead, June, if you're ready, put yourself on the record with your name, who you represent. I'm assuming you're here for testimony. When you're ready, 2 minutes, please begin.
Okay, good afternoon. I'm glad for the opportunity to address you today regarding SB 71. My name is June Rogers, and I am a lifelong Alaskan from Fairbanks. This bill recognizes the value of what we have, and that is this insight can propel us forward through successful partnerships, even in these precarious times. The Alaska Artistic License Plates Program is poised to ensure that a modest surcharge on these plates will generate earned income for the Alaska State Council on the Arts, more usually referred to as ASCA. These new funds can be directed to ASCA's required state to federal match with the National Endowment for the Arts. And this bill also allows ASCA to hold artistic competitions and for subsequent payments from these surcharges to be made to the winning artists of such competitions. Additionally, the bill clarifies that the State Attorney General serves as legal counsel to ASCA, and it frames ASCA's authority over public art created by the Percent for Art program. The language exempting components of ASCA's budget derived from private non-governmental sources from the Executive Branch Budget Act is laudable in that it acknowledges the strength of community participation in making forward strides in our economy and by recognizing the need to protect the path of this type of public support. Our communities depend on the leaders in our legislative bodies, and we thank Senator Gary Stevens for understanding the mission and plight of the arts and for seeking solutions of continued success on all levels of possible revenue generation. I always trust that you have our best interests at heart and that you are solidly behind the arts, even in such stressful times as we now encounter. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers, for your testimony this afternoon. I do not see anybody online that is here to testify. Do any of the committee members have questions of, actually, you know what, let's just stop here, and I'm going to go ahead at this time, seeing no other public testifiers, we're going to go ahead and close public testimony on SB 71. We do have those two experts online. If any of the committee members would like to ask questions at this time, of those we have available to ask questions for SB 71. Okay, not seeing any hands raised.
Chairman.
Senator Ramble, go ahead.
I would like to ask DMV for their pro or con in regards to this.
Mr. Schmitz, you want to go ahead and put yourself on the record, and did you hear that question okay?
I did hear the question. In the terms of offering pros and cons, it's been previously noted that this particular plate that we're talking about, the Celebrating the Arts plate, is our most popular plate. It's the plate that we sell the most of. So it is the one that's demanded the most by the public. Placing a $50 fee on it certainly will decrease significantly the demand for those plates. And it's just a footnote that's obvious, but I thought it was worth mentioning. That would be my only comment.
Senator Ramble, does that answer your questions or any more?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And another day, a totally different bill, totally different issue. The DMV would love to have a discussion on closing the DMVs in different areas. It's a huge issue in my district right now. But thank you for the input. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Senator Ramble. He did not do that. Hey, Jeffrey, could you just go ahead and, for the record, put your name? I didn't catch you didn't give us your name. Could you do that for your previous answer, please?
Yes, pardon me, Mr. Chair, committee members, for the record, I'm Jeffrey Schmitz. I'm the director of the State of Alaska DMV.
Thank you very much. Other questions for our expert testifiers while we've got them online from the committee? Okay, seeing none. At this time, we have done all the things we needed to do in state affairs with SB 71, so Mrs. Vice Chairman, Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for me?
Oh, that's a first. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate State Affairs Committee, Senate Bill 71, Work Order 32-LS-0310/I be moved out of Senate State Affairs.
Are there any objections? Okay, I'm pausing a little longer because the lesson learned from last week as well, there's sometimes it moved a little faster, just an FYI. That's why it will seem like I'm sitting here staring for a moment. All right, seeing none, the bill is going to be moved out of committee, and we are going to set the bill and the paperwork aside, and we will sign that at the end of the hearing so that we don't slow the process down. Senator Stevens, thank you very much for joining us, and you guys can clear off. Okay, we're going to continue on now. Moving to the next item on the agenda is going to be SB 84, Land Vouchers, PFDs. We had no amendments submitted for this bill, and public testimony was open and closed in a previous meeting. So, and just there was a question about volume. Can you hear me okay now, especially if I'm closer? Get a thumbs up from the one that asked. Okay. I think it may be because I'm back a little bit from the mic, so just make sure if I do that again, just tell me. All right. It was open and closed public testimony. It's an intent to move SB 84 out of state affairs today. And at this time, again, moving relatively quickly, does any, before we get to that point, do any committee members have anything else they would like to say or questions they would like to ask on Senate Bill 84, the governor's bill on the land vouchers, PFDs? And just for information, we have Marty Parsons, director of DNR, for questions. We also have Shonda O'Brien, director of public assistance. So if there's questions or comments at this time from any committee members, we can do that before we make a motion to move the bill to the next committee of referral. Okay, seeing none, we are going to ask our Vice Chair, Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for me?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate State Affairs Committee, Senate Bill 40, Work Order 32-GS-1612/A be moved out of Senate State Affairs Committee.
And Senator Reinbold, I think they gave you one. It's scratched out here, and I just caught it. Could you just correct that to Senate Bill 84? I do apologize. I see it probably did not get scratched out on your script, which is why. So it's Senate Bill 84. That's our fault. We'll take the hit for that.
You're absolutely right. And now I got to make sure the work order is right. Just hold on one second. I'm going to grab the bill 84.
I'll see if I can beat you to that.
Okay. It's version A, correct? I'll restate the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. You're right. When you're ready, go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate State Affairs, Senate Bill 84, which is 32-OS-1612/A out of committee.
All right. Are there any objections? I apologize for that snafu. That was our fault, folks. Okay. Seeing none, the bill is going to be moved out of committee. We're going to put this report to the side as well. And like I said, at the end of the hearing, we'll have you guys come down and gals come down and do that. Next, we're going to continue on with questions and comments for... Okay. The governor's appointees to boards and commissions. So are there any questions and comments from committee members at this point in the process? Seeing none. There has been some question about whether it's necessary to hear all the appointees. It's going to be our position from state affairs and my position that it's important to hear every appointee come before the legislature. So I'm going to make sure that we hear them all before we pass them on. I believe it's our chance to ask the appropriate questions for due diligence. So far... For governor's appointees, we have Dan Weatherly online, and I'm just going to ask the question, do you know where the other two are? Have they shown up or dropped off by chance? No idea? Okay. We should add Craig Johnson as well as Dan DeSoto, but I'm not seeing him, so we're going to go with who we have for the moment. So this has been happening a bit lately. Can you pass it on? Thank you. So we're going to start with the second up, which is going to be Daniel Weatherly for the Alaska Police Standards Council. Mr. Weatherly, welcome, and thanks for calling in today. Would you please put yourself on the record, introduce yourself to the committee, and go ahead and present to the committee why you would like to be appointed on the Alaska Police Standards Council. When you're ready, sir, please begin.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Daniel Weatherly. I live in Anchor Point with my wife, Cindy. I have two adult children and two grandchildren. I've been in law enforcement in the state of Alaska approximately 30 years, and then working with various agencies, mostly the Alaska State Troopers. Why would I want to be with the Standards Council? I think Alaska has probably been on the forefront of initiating standards for a number of years now over many jurisdictions in the lower 48. I'd like to give back a little bit, if I could, for the time that I've spent with the state troopers and for the time I have spent in Alaska.
Okay. That was very succinct. Thank you very much, committee members. I'll open it up for questions for Mr. Weatherly and the Alaska Police Standards Council.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Ramble, please go ahead.
I just want to say that we thoroughly vetted him in judiciary, and he's got my thumbs up.
Okay, thank you. I would agree with that, having been there. Had the same chance to ask questions, so I don't really have any more at this time. He's probably going to chuckle about that, too, because I asked all the questions I normally do. So from our other three committee members, are there any further questions for him at this time? Okay. Seeing none, stand by a moment, folks. Just real briefly, I'm going to take an at-ease only because I want to see if we can find out if the other two may be available. So give me just one moment. And if they're not available, we'll move on to the next part of the committee. So if my little bit of patience from my committee members, give me 1 second to verify. Take an at-ease. Third one, we have Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much for taking the time to call in and for your willingness for all of you, actually, to step up and serve. It's not easy in a lot of ways. So third up, we've got Dan DeSoto. I hope I said that right, sir. We've got same thing for Alaska Public Offices Commission. When you're ready, put yourself on the record why you would like to serve, and you've got the floor, sir.
Good afternoon, Senators. My name is Dan Lasota. It's L-A-S-O-T-A. But no offense taken, I've gotten that version since the second grade or so. As you know, I've been appointed by Governor Dunleavy to APOC as one of the commissioners. That appointment happened sometime in late winter of 2020. I have attended and participated in all APOC public meetings and deliberations since that time. I hope to communicate to you what I believe are my qualifications, my approach to public service, and make myself available to any questions that you might have. I've been in Alaska since 87 when I came to Fairbanks as a grad student at the Geophysical Institute. About 5 years later, I found myself on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, and I served in that capacity for the folks in Fairbanks until 1999. My interest in public service was and is rooted in the idea that the public needs good representation. I believe it's important that a public official remain open to listening to diverse viewpoints on a whole range of issues and maintaining ethical standards that are beyond reproach. I do have direct experience as a campaign manager and a candidate dealing with the numerous APOC reports involved with several municipal campaigns, as well as making reports as a public official. I've been appointed to the commission as one of the designated Democrats. I'm very proud of being a Democrat, but would like you to know that I'm more proud of being an Alaskan first. Whatever business comes before APOC, I would like the people to see me first as one who pays attention to the details, is well briefed on cases, aware of statutory requirements, and above all else, fair. I look forward to continued work with the staff of APOC, the other commissioners, and you, the legislature, when and if that is warranted, in order to maintain the openness and transparency of our elections. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have at this time.
Thank you for your opening statement. I'll ask one and open it up to the committee. Do you have any conflicts of interest that you have declared or that you are aware of?
No.
Thank you. Committee members, questions? Mr. Lasota.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a comment.
Senator Rambo, go ahead.
I really appreciate APOC. I was researching your database last night, and today I was also looking into it for a particular reason. So I appreciate a lot of the reports and the way that the website is done. And I have also had to reach out a couple times on different issues, and I have found you guys to really be timely and give good information. I do have some recommendations of some things that I do think need to be improved a little bit, and I'm wondering, what would the process be in regards to that?
Thank you for your comments, Senator. I personally can't take credit for any of the organization on the state's website. That's entirely the staff's responsibility, and they deserve any kudos that you think they should earn. One of the things that the commissioners had discussed in our previous public meeting was the need to hold some sort of work session, and we identified some dates, preliminary dates this summer, where we could look at necessary changes to statutes. Of course, we'd have to make recommendations to you folks in order for that to happen. But I would invite you to attend our next public meeting, and I'm sorry I don't have the date offhand, but I can get in touch with your office and let you know what that is. We too have public hearing opportunities, and of course, we'd love to hear any of the legislature's thoughts on what is working and what needs to have more attention paid to.
Through the chair, can I have a follow-up, please?
Senator Rabo, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to give you a quick. There's like three issues, but this is the one. The lobbyists, they're not specifying their name. They're just specifying their organization. So, that's one of many issues that I'd like to discuss with you guys. But it used to be a lot more transparent, in regards to their names and also the specific issues that they were working on. And at some point, I just want to give you just a little hint. Those are things that I think people that work with APOC a lot, their information and their interest is really, really valuable. But because I do use your information quite often, I'd certainly like that opportunity, and I will look forward to that public information workshop. Thank you very much, and I wish you luck. I think it's a tough commission, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rambold. Other committee member questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Holland.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to thank each of these three applicants. It looks like the boards they're going to be appointed to are right in their wheelhouses. Mr. Weatherly with the state trooper experience, Mr. Johnson with his experience, and I believe it was as a representative, and Mr. Lasota with APOC. I appreciate a lot of what APOC does. They take some weird phone calls, I know, at various times of the day and night. But I just thank each of these three gentlemen for staying involved.
Thank you, Senator Holland. I've got a couple more just because I haven't had a chance, Dan, to talk to you yet here. And these are the questions I asked everybody except ones like in previous committees, so it was a little different. Do you have, in addition to the other question I asked, any ethical or criminal issues that would create a problem with serving on the board? And I'll just ask it straight up the same way I've typically asked. Any other skeletons in the closet that we might want to know about that might come back later, just so that we put it on the public record? Thank you.
No, I don't believe I have any skeletons in the closet. We do live in a very small state, and I did raise a potential conflict of interest with the chair of the committee in our internal rules. You know, our chair is the person who makes a decision on those, and it was a case slightly tangential to the university, of which is my employer, so, but it was ruled that it wasn't a conflict of interest, so it's always better, in my view, to raise potential conflicts of interest to, like, go the extra mile and bring, I believe the expression is shine a lantern on it, that way the public can make they can see that you're not trying to hide anything, and it's better off to have full view of everything that pertains to the public's business.
Thank you for that, and I appreciate your comment on saying that you're a Democrat. Obviously, most of the committee here is not. However, as you're well aware, it should be irrelevant when we're talking about keeping people honest. May not be the right word for that, but we're holding ourselves accountable is perhaps a better way to say it. It should be irrelevant what's before your name when it comes to that, because everybody can be tempted, and everybody can do things sometimes when they shouldn't do them, and we've seen that across the board. So I appreciate the fact that you have mentioned that from the point of view that you're not partisan when it comes to upholding the standards that we should all be upholding. So thank you for that comment. I would have one other one I would add that I think it's something we should also just at least be cognizant of is the so-called dark money, because that came out of an issue, and I know that's being addressed potentially legislatively here, that, you know, we hold candidates very high to a very high standard on reporting, but we've allowed ballot measures and other things to potentially still have dark money, so-called, flowing into the state. So it's something I think we should be cognizant of and apply the same standard across the board. Everybody should have to meet those standards, and at the moment we're not quite doing that. So just something for us to consider moving forward as we talk about trying to make sure this is clean as we can possibly get it. And that's just something for a debate for a later day. So thank you. Any farther comments for Dan before we move on? Okay. Seeing none, then it's the intent to move these appointees out of committee today. I thank all three of you for taking the time to come talk to us this afternoon. You're welcome to just go ahead and click off and disappear so you don't have to listen to any more happenings down here in Juneau. And thank you for taking the time. This paperwork will be set to the side, and again, at the end of the day, we will, or at the end of the committee hearing, we will go ahead and have everybody come down and sign the paperwork for each one of these things.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Senator Ramble. Oh, I apologize. I didn't do that. You should have a new sheet of paper. I was going so fast without you here. We need to actually read them out. So do you have the updated version available, Senator Ramble?
First of all, do you want to do public testimony?
Yes, I do, and that's not in here. So we made a mistake. It's not in my folder, so I went right by it. Did you have anything?
No.
Okay. Got it there. Thank you. That's our fault, folks, for not seeing that. That's not in the script, and it didn't catch it. But like I said, I have a staff member that's not here, so it makes it a little tougher. And that's not an excuse. It's just we screwed up. So we're going to go ahead at this time, Carrie, and open up public testimony. I'm not even going to ask because there's nobody in the room to testify. However, I also see no one online, and just to verify, there's nobody there. So seeing none at this time, I'm going to close public testimony. And thank you very much for the reminder of that, Senator Reinbold, so we get it right. And that being said, continuing with the motion to have it in the script correctly for myself, Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion to pass these appointees out of state affairs?
Chair Schauer, I make a motion to accept appointees of Craig Johnson, Dan Weatherly, and Dan Lasota to the respective boards and commissions and move them out of Senate State Affairs Committee.
Okay. And just I want to add to that, this does not reflect an intent for any of the members to vote for or against the appointee in any further sessions for the purpose of confirmation. Are there any objections from committee members at this time? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, the bill is moved out of committee. And like I said, at the end of the committee hearing, we will sign these up. It's a little bit different. Getting used to it. All right. At this time, we're moving on. Thank you. To SB 77, use of internet for charitable gaming, from Senate Labor and Commerce. As noted for the committee today, we have the following people with us on Senate Bill 77. Is invited by the sponsor to provide testimony and make themselves available to answer questions for the committee. Melody, I hope I get this right, Wilterdink. And we have Colleen Glover from the Department of Revenue. And can we see if they'll pop up on Teams so we have them here? I'm not missing. Melody, can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I can. It might show me as Emma Ashlock. I am here with my office's intern.
Okay, thank you. And Colleen, how about that as well? I just want to verify we have you with us. Okay, see you. Colleen Glover, can you hear me from the Department of Revenue?
Sorry, I was on mute, yes.
That's right. Part of the problem is with the mute, unmute yourself. Okay, give me 1 second to catch up to you. All right, when you are ready, if you want to go ahead and start off with the sponsor statement and your presentation, you have the floor.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, this is Melody Wilterdink, staff to Senator Costello. I'm going to start by reading the sponsor statement for Senate Bill 77. In January of 2021, Governor Dunleavy asked the legislature to extend the public health disaster emergency through the passage of Senate Bill 56. This was a comprehensive bill with numerous provisions, one of which included an extension of the public health disaster emergency. This bill is taken from the governor's bill and addresses Section 9 of that bill. It looks at charitable gaming online ticket sales. The purpose of this committee bill is to give the legislative branch the opportunity to take the necessary time to determine whether or not we need to make our statutes more COVID-19 aware, as opposed to relying on an emergency disaster declaration in order to keep our state operational. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee intends to rely heavily on the administration to explain why certain sections of the disaster extension bill, such as the provisions now found in Senate Bill 77, are necessary. I also have the sectional analysis here, if you would like me to read it, Mr. Chairman.
Please continue. Thank you. Actually, yeah, go ahead. We'll do that first, and we'll open it up to questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, again, this is Melody Wilterding. I am reading the sectional analysis for Senate Bill 77, version Bravo. So in Section 1, which actually spans through pages 1, 2, and the top of 3, is amended by adding a new subsection, Alaska Statute 0515060A11, which will establish standards for online ticket sales to ensure compliance with charitable gaming laws, including age and location verification and data security standards. And then Section 2, which is on page 3, the last part, that section is amended by adding a new subsection again, AS 0515640D, to allow permittees and operators of charitable gaming licenses to use the internet to conduct charitable gaming activities for raffles, lotteries, dog mushers contests, derbies, or types of classics as defined in Alaska Statute 0515690. And this includes drawing winning tickets online. And then finally, that same Section 2 is amended by adding another new subsection, E, which specifies that permittees and operators of charitable gaming licenses must verify that purchasers are of the legal purchasing age, that they are physically present in the state and not physically present in an area of the state that has prohibited charitable gaming. That concludes the sectional analysis.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions or comments from committee members after the sponsor statement of the sectional analysis?
Senator Schauer.
Go ahead, Senator Rimmel.
I just wanted to thank Senator Casella's office for taking the initiative for bringing this forth, because I do really think that the disaster declaration bill needed to be taken into pieces. And I know that they worked on that in Labor and Commerce. And I just really wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rambl. And Senator Costello, I say the same thing, and I probably should have mentioned your name as this. I know it's a committee bill, and you're reticent to take credit for it, but I would love to hear if you have any things you'd like to add from your committee as we work through this. And just for the record for the public, Senator Costello and others are working on many provisions of this, because instead of having a disaster declaration that allowed for many of these things to happen, we're trying to ask the administration to work together as an executive branch and legislative branch, instead of having to have these powers under emergency declaration. What do you need to function? And if we need to change the statutes, then let's change the statutes, exactly what's happening here, so that we get it right. And in the future, we won't have these issues. So that's part of what this is about, just for the record. And Senator Costello is kind of the one that was driving this one here. Do you have anything you'd like to add, or maybe highlight for the public and state affairs what you're doing here with Senate Bill 77, why this matters?
Well, thank you, Senator Schauer, and I wanted to really thank my aide, Melody Wilterding, for carrying this bill. As she expressed that we wrote in the sponsor statement, we wanted to really just take time and look at what was in the governor's disaster declaration and take out sections and really dig into whether or not we want to make some of our statutes COVID-aware. I personally think this is one area that we're going to find is worth making our statute, what I'm calling COVID aware, which means that instead of attaching it to the heels of a disaster declaration, we can look back and say, is this something that we would like as the legislature to allow the state to be able to do? And I look forward to the testimony from the administration, from Colleen. I appreciate her being online. My question to her is if she could give us some examples of entities that are going to use this law if passed, because I'm hearing from others that there are some groups out, you know, out there in Alaska that really are trying to raise funds and that they actually require this kind of legislation in order to do that. So thank you, everyone, for your comments, and I look forward to hearing the bill today.
Thank you, Senator Costello, and we'll defer to that. Colleen, if you want to go ahead, give us some examples and anything else you want to add at this time for this kind of an effort as we're working our way through this as a governing body. So go ahead. You have the floor. Put yourself on the record, please.
So Colleen Glover, for the record, Tax Division Director, Department of Revenue. And just to give a little bit of historical perspective of kind of how this came to be during the pandemic. So it became apparent to us last summer that the organizations that really, you know, make up the charitable gaming community were greatly harmed by not being able to be selling tickets in the public forum. There wasn't a lot of opportunities for them to sell raffle tickets at big events as they had in the past. After hearing from them, and we worked with them to figure out what we could do within the current laws to allow for these raffles to continue. The current law allows for promoting these contests, the raffles and these contests and the derbies over the internet, but the law does not allow to conduct the raffles and these games, excuse me, on the internet. We issued temporary guidance last summer saying during the pandemic we will allow for the sale and the actual raffle to be considered under the promote portion of the law and allow for them. And then when the original declaration expired from Senate Bill 241 in last November, the governor and the administration worked to include that in the Health Order 7 that was in mid-November. And then those, as you know, were kind of extended every 30 days until the last one expired mid-February. As far as specific examples, I don't have any off the top of my head. I know we have gotten tremendous feedback from several charitable organizations that support this and were, in fact, nervous when the emergency order was expiring that they thought this would go away and it wouldn't continue. There was testimony last week, I believe, in House Finance from a lot of different charitable organizations on the benefits to it from Excel Alaska and then some others. We have not gotten any opposition to this at all. We support this program. We think it's makes sense to allow these online. You know, the statutes sometimes were very outdated, and you can't assume what technology is going to be in the future in the statute. So we support this change.
Okay, and Senator Costello, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, thank you very much for explaining that. My question for you is, in the legislation that was introduced by the governor and the disaster declaration, it calls for verifying the location of individuals and their age and that they're in the state. Can you explain how that is going to be achieved?
Senator Costello, through the chair, the statute also, or the legislation also calls for the department to issue guidance or regulations on that. We don't have specifics yet. We have talked internally how we would do that and have some kind of software type tracking for that would enable the organization who is doing the game to be able to verify age and location requirements.
Senator Costello, follow up. Thank you. And I see somebody that has a hand up here, but it's only in the lower, this is the techie parts we have to figure out here. In the lower corner, it's got a +3. but it doesn't have a name there. So somebody has a hand up, whoever you are, if you want to unmute yourself with your question. That could be Senator Kawasaki now that he's up. You actually have your hand raised there, a little yellow hand there, Scott, but I'm not sure.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question.
Go ahead.
I guess the first question is for Colleen, because we'd actually asked about this in May, because we had, I'll tell you, one organization is the Catholic Schools of Fairbanks that have a big raffle, and they were asking advice on what we can do. And so we looked through.
Hey, Scott, FYI, you just muted yourself accidentally. Senator Kawasaki. He clicked himself off, unfortunately. Hold on, folks. We'll get to him here in a minute. He doesn't realize he muted himself.
Just me not hearing him?
Yeah, it says your microphone is muted, so you might have accidentally clicked it to mute. Let's see here. It says muted, and I'm not hearing you. Hold on 1 second. Yeah. Can you unclick it again? Try again.
Try this again.
Okay, now you're back. I don't know what happened. Wonders of technology. You want to repeat that? Yeah, I had a really good question going. You were on a roll. Want to try again?
Yeah, so one organization I can tell you about is the Catholic Schools of Fairbanks, which talked to our office back in May. So our office had looked up and researched Title V dealing with charitable gaming, found that there was nothing necessarily that would prevent electronic gaming or using raffles or using electronic means to do gaming. So our legal department, I guess, talked to your legal department. At some point in time, we came up with the language to use temporary guidance for charitable gaming permittees to use the word promote as written in Title V. And so I guess my question for you and the department is how that was implemented, and did you have any pitfalls or any problems, knowing that this was sort of an emergency regulation? We wanted to do it quickly. We wanted to do it, you know, for the folks that really needed to raise money for this last year.
Senator Kawasaki, through the chair, this is Colleen Glover. So when we implemented this, it was temporary guidance. We didn't actually do any emergency regulations. We issued this temporary guidance, posted on our website, and shared it with the gaming community. We didn't do any, we didn't issue anything about them having to prove location or age or anything at that time. It really was, we really felt like it was an important thing for us to do to allow this to continue. And I think most people really didn't expect the duration of this pandemic. We didn't know it would be a year later. We still kind of be in this world. So we were just trying to do what we could to help out these organizations that we thought were very important and didn't want them to lose proceeds, which are then, you know, do help a lot of, you know, really important charities. So we didn't put a lot of kind of constraints. We just wanted to give some simple guidance to them so they could continue.
Okay. And then follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kawasaki, go ahead, please.
Through the chair, just a follow up then. So with the statutory revisions, how will it work exactly? Because that was our big question, is that how some of these smaller groups would be able to comply with it if it were permanent regulations.
Senator Kawasaki, through the chair, you know, our position is we want to make it where it isn't too difficult for them to comply, but then we also need to, you know, ensure that they have the right controls in place so they aren't selling to somebody out of the state or doesn't meet the age requirements. And so we have talked internally about how we would do that. We haven't quite landed on that yet, but we do think there are fairly simple, low-cost technology options that the charitable gaming community could use to make sure they meet the requirements, and at least as written in the current legislation.
Senator Kawasaki, good, or another follow-up?
Okay, and I guess if this law change were to pass, how long would it be before you could propagate the regulations so that folks that do sell tickets, like in the summer, beginning of summer, would they be able to do so as if it were happening, you know, back in last summer, I guess, is the question. I just want to make sure that there won't be a delay for those folks who sort of anticipated being able to continue on the old temporary guidance.
As Senator Kawasaki, the good thing about this current legislation is the way it's written, we can issue guidance or standards, right? It outlines that we have to establish standards. And I believe we can do so without having to go through the regulatory process, or at least initially we could issue standards so it wouldn't put a delay on the impact on the charitable gaming community, and then follow up and get formal regulations later.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Kawasaki. And Colleen, just very briefly, is there an effective date requirement on that for you to be able to do it, or is it left blank for that reason on the bill itself? I see Senator Costello's got a question, probably can answer that even better. So if you want to go ahead, Senator Costello.
Senator Schauer.
Go ahead. Can everybody hear me? It says my microphone is muted. Why is that? Hold on. Anyone? You see that? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, I don't believe we're hearing Senator Schauer.
It says my microphone is muted, and I have no way to do that. That's a little odd. Anyone? I'm going to write this to you. I don't know how to fix
this. This is a little uncomfortable. Does he know we can't hear him?
Yes, well, he does.
I guess I could just continue. I have a question for you, Senator Costello.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Through the chair, Senator Costello. So the temporary guidance that was issued under the COVID-19 was sort of thought of that it would expire at the end of the COVID-19 declaration. This would, I guess, allow it to continue on. Is that your intention, that it continues on at the discretion of the Department of Revenue?
So, and I really appreciate the question, and the committee has introduced several bills, and there was no intention in any of them except for that we would be able to look at these issues more closely and ask that question and then answer it. This is the first time the bill has been heard, and so I'm sensing from Colleen that there is a need for this to be an option for entities moving forward. I mean, we could put a sunset date on it if you would like. I actually have a question for Colleen, and I was going to ask you, do you think we need an immediate effective date? I noticed the bill has no effective date right now.
Senator Costello, through the chair, I think it's always good to have an effective date on legislation.
The
governor's health order expired, and so we still are evaluating, you know, how to manage right now.
Okay, and as vice chairman, I'm going to go ahead and do through the chair, but I've been trying to look through why we can't hear Senator Schauer, and it's because the Butterfitch Teams hub is muted. If you click on the screen, it shows that someone or somebody in that room looks like muted Senator Schauer. So I think we should just take a very brief at ease, because I think he needs to be able to control his own meeting. Let's just take a very brief at ease, okay?
Okay, see, it says muted. Don't go back on the record. We're not back on the record. Shows unmuted so we can finish. So thank you guys for continuing with that. That is a issue with IT that we're going to have to take up. It's not done that yet. This is only the third time we've tried it.
I took an at ease. If you could just get us back on the record, please.
I'm going to do that. I just want to make sure that Teams is good before we continue. So, okay, we good? So we're going to go back on the record now. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for that. That's the first time that's happened. For some reason, the Teams system is muting this place, but not everybody else. So we had to fix that. So I heard the discussion. I could hear everything. It was recorded. I just couldn't hear me. So I'm going to continue with where we were at this point. Did we have any other questions? Because I was able to listen to the conversation from any other committee members that have not been answered so far. Okay, then we've gotten to this point. That being the case, if anybody wishes to submit amendments to this bill, please have them to our office by Friday, March 26 at 5 p.m. And I want to thank Senator Costello and the staff and Colleen for showing up today to give us the initial testimony on SB 77. This is an important effort that we need to be doing right now to prevent, and I think this should be clear, to prevent moving forward that we don't end up in this place again where we need an emergency or a disaster declaration just to be able to execute business. We should hopefully fix this legislatively. So we're going to move on to the last thing on today's agenda, which is SB 47, Vehicle Registration Persons with Disability. As a note, we're going to have available to us today Jeffrey Schmitz, Director, Department of Motor Vehicles. We have Leanne Carruthers, American Physical Therapy Association Alaska Chapter, and Patricia McCadu, if I said that right. We have available as well from the sponsor, Senator Gray Jackson, and staff with the presentation. So continuing on, we should have, there you are, good afternoon. Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson, for bringing this to State Affairs. Go ahead and please put yourself on the record, and when you're ready, begin the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Chowers, and to the committee for hearing my bill. It is truly an honor. This is Senator Elvie Gray Jackson, and this is Senate Bill 47, Vehicle Registration Persons with Disability. SB 47 amends AS 28.10.181D to allow speech-language pathologists, physical therapists, and occupational therapists to provide proof of disability to their clients. Currently, only chiropractors, physicians, physician's assistants, or advanced practice registered nurses can provide proof of disability to their clients. By expanding an ability to medical professionals in different fields to provide proof of disability to individuals, the opportunity to obtain special registration plates for vehicles is expanded for people with different kinds of disabilities. Oftentimes, individuals with disabilities are in more constant contact with their physical or occupational therapist than with physicians because their issues require more specialized care. It can be cumbersome for these people who are already suffering with disabilities to make an additional visit to the physician purely for the purpose of acquiring their plaques. To provide ease and accessibility for these disabled people, it would be more efficient and effective to allow these additional types of professionals to provide proof of disability. Chairman Sherrod, I'd like to introduce my Chief of Staff, Keith Bogus, who will read the sectional analysis, but I just want to alert everyone that the one you have in your packet is different than the one he's going to read. The one he's going to read is more accurate description of what the bill does. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. When you're ready, sir, on the record, and please continue.
Yes, sir. For the record, my name is Keith Bogus. The sectional analysis for Senate Bill 47. Section 1 amends AS 2810-181D to include a person licensed as a speech-language pathologist or as a physical therapist or occupational therapist under AS 0884.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Gray Jackson, you're doing a great job of keeping them simple so far this year, so much appreciated.
I know how you operate, Chairman.
Thank you. So at this point, we're going to open it up to the committee members for initial questions on the sponsor statement and introduction of Senate Bill 47. Do we have questions or comments? Okay. Seeing none, then we're going to continue to move on without taking extra time. If any members wish to submit amendments to this bill, please have them to our office by Friday, March 26 at 5 p.m. And Senator Gray Jackson, thanks for taking the time to intro it, and we'll bring up debate further with amendments if we have them the next time. We'll set it aside for a future meeting. So thank you, and you are cleared off if you'd like to go back to work. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I make one more comment,
please? You are absolutely welcome to, Senator Gray Jackson. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was on the impression that we were going to have public testimony today, and I think there may be one person invited testimony online.
We absolutely have that. Matter of fact, we have, I'm guessing, we have two, a Carruthers and a McAdoo. And if that was the intent today, I did not see it in here, but if that's the intent, we absolutely can open and do that today. So
I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman.
That's absolutely not a problem. With the patience of our committee members, we will go ahead and do that, and I apologize, did not see that. So we're going to open up public testimony on Senate Bill 47. Just so I've asked the question, there is nobody in the room to ask to testify, so we're going to go to those online. And do you have a preference of which one would be first there, Senator Gray Jackson?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We'll just go in order they show up in front of me. We've got Patricia McAdoo. I hope I have that right. When you're ready, please put yourself on the record. And 2 minutes of testimony, please.
Thank you very much. This is Patricia McAdoo. I am a physical therapist, and Senator Holland, although I call District N home, for the last 20 years, I've actually worked in the bush since retiring from the U.S. Public Health Service. And I want to point out to you that the providers who are listed in the current statute are not always accessible to our bush people. And although you may not need a handicap placard in one of the villages, you need it when you come to Anchorage or to Fairbanks, and usually it's one person with a mobility impairment traveling with an escort, and they rent a car, and if they cannot handicap park until they see the doctor and get the paperwork processed, you can see the problem, and it would be a great deal of help to have accessibility through those of us who are itinerant providers in the bush. And I think it's pretty obvious that the criteria are spelled out in legislation, your ability to walk 200 feet, to have an orthotic device, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not as if anyone would be setting up their own criteria. I personally serve the southern and eastern villages of Norton Sound, Stebbins, St. Mike, Shaktulik, you know, Laclete and Koyuk, and I'm always dealing with this problem, having to call into Nome and beg whatever physician who has not even set eyes on the person to audit the record and go ahead and do this. So I think this bill is long overdue. Physical therapists have had direct access here in Alaska since 1986. And I have nothing but the greatest degree of respect for my colleagues in occupational and in speech therapy. So I ask you all to look at this bill with open eyes and to endorse it, especially providing these services to the residents of our rural communities. Thanks very much to all of you for the work you're doing.
Thank you, Patricia, and thank you for nailing 2 minutes. Can't get much better than that, right at the end. We're going to continue on to Leanne Carruthers, if I have it right. Leanne, please put yourself on the record and begin when you're ready.
Good afternoon, Senator Schauer and members of the committee. My name is Leanne Carruthers, and I also am a licensed physical therapist. While I am the Alaska Physical Therapy Association's government affairs liaison, I want to be clear that today I am speaking as an individual therapist, as the association has not gone formally on the record, though I anticipate that that will be forthcoming shortly. I have 35 years experience in the rehab profession, both as a clinician and an educator. It is my contention that physical therapists, occupational therapists, and speech and language pathologists have the knowledge and skills to safely assess whether a patient meets the qualification requirements for a disability parking permit or plate. As a physical therapist who is based on Alaska statute able to see patients without a physician referral, I assert that including PTs among providers who can sign forms will save both patient and clinician time and funds, as it will decrease the need for an additional visit to another provider. Given current qualifications, physical therapists routinely see patients who, as Ms. McAdoo said, meet the various requirements for qualification. We are thus qualified to make professional judgments as to whether the patient currently qualifies for a permit or placard and whether the condition is permanent or temporary. Given the number of people whose functional mobility who has been negatively impacted by COVID, we are seeing increased numbers of people who need therapy to return to doing what they want and need to do. These patients may need temporary or permanent access to accessible parking during their recovery. thank you for your consideration of the bill. Mm-hmm. Successfully passing this bill will reduce patient and provider time and expenses and allow rehabilitation therapists to practice at the level appropriate to their knowledge, skills, and experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leanne, for that testimony, for both of you for calling in. There was really no reason to rush with only two of you, but you both did a fantastic job of getting your point across in a very efficient and timely manner, so thank you. And Senator Jay Jackson, go ahead.
Thank you. If I may, I just got a note that there's one other person. I don't know why you can't see her, but her name is Annette Alfonsi.
Okay, she's on Teams, and this is the learning between who's here for what, because she doesn't show up on my
what we're used to.
She is absolutely there. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep, you bet. We're here. Let's get it done. So, Annette, when you're ready, please put yourself on the record, and I'll give you 2 minutes. Please begin.
Thank you very much. It's my understanding that invited testifiers had 3 minutes. Is that okay, or is that going to be a problem?
No, it's not a problem at all. I did not realize the difference here because it's not quite on the script today, so that's totally fine. Please go ahead and provide your testimony, and I won't slow you down. So just begin when you're ready.
I'll talk fast.
Take your time.
My name is Annette Alfonsi, and I'm here for myself and also on behalf of the Unmasking Brain Injury Project. Thank you very much for letting me speak with you today. I used to work full-time, and I have a college degree. In 2012, I was a passenger in a rollover car accident with a reckless driver. I've had internal injuries and persistent concussion symptoms and spent my savings on medical care by folks that did not understand my injuries or the right treatments for them, and I now work in food service while doing volunteer advocacy. Since 2015, I've planned and implemented annual brain injury education with continuing education credits for chiropractic, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and physician CMEs every year, to name a few. Getting credits approved requires an understanding of each field's scope of practice, and I've been a patient in offices of every field listed in this bill and have worked in medical and dental offices. So I'd like to give some examples of scopes of practice. On the disability parking placard form, number 1 and number 2 reference walking distance and walking with assistance. Physical therapists usually assess walking more extensively than physicians that look for the neurological ability to walk, but don't typically assess for distance, stamina, or assistive technology. A physical therapist adjusted my walking sticks to fit me, did vestibular exercises with me, and assessed heart rate and oxygen variability to increase my walking distance and speed safely. It's within the scope of practice for an occupational therapist to do a driving test, and their results are officially accepted by Workman's Comp, but they don't have the ability to provide the disability parking placard. I voluntarily had a driving assessment with my occupational therapist, but they could not sign the form for one. Number 6 on the placard form says is severely limited in their ability to walk due to an arthritic, neurological, or orthopedic condition. Speech therapists can provide cognitive assessments and cognitive retraining and rehabilitation. Cognitive fatigue, slowed response time, or problems juggling multiple variables can make driving unsafe and increase the chances for an accident. I worked with a speech therapist on cognitive retraining. When a PT, OT, or SLP does an assessment, a patient must now make another appointment to get that parking placard. This takes additional time, is expensive, takes up medical appointments in a state with a healthcare shortage, and is a burden on loved ones, and can lead to additional injury of the person or of others. It may put more obstacles on rural residents. Cumulatively, this bill will save time, money, re-injuries, and increase independence, healing, and economic vitality. So I'd just like to urge you to please pass Senate Bill 47, and I'd like to thank you very much for your time today.
So, Annette, just to be clear, you went through this yourself with an accident and used many of these services, correct?
That is correct, yep.
Well, you have certainly, I got to tell you, not too many people can talk faster than I can and much better and more eloquently, and you just did. So you turned something that was obviously, you know, a very terrible situation into an amazing ability to turn around and eloquently tell people what happened to you. So that's amazing, quite honestly, with that. And I make that joke because everybody says I talk too fast, and one of my committee members says it's something like a chainsaw, I believe was his exact words. He was in the Coast Guard, but I won't say who that was. So that is, thank you for taking the time, because I believe it is much more powerful when we hear from people that have actually gone through something and have learned to overcome it. So first of all, kudos to you for doing that and taking the time to show why this would matter and how it would help people. So I'm going to open this up because it is invited testimony, and thank you for rushing, but you certainly didn't have to. And I should have been clear on that. I wasn't expecting the public testimony or invited today, but that's fine. So I'm going to open this up to other committee members that might have questions or comments for you, because This is kind of showing, in, I think, in the broadest sense of why this might matter. So, committee members, do you have questions or comments for Annette?
Senator Tower?
Go ahead, Senator Rambl.
Just want to say ditto your comments. Extremely impressive testimony. I'm sure I speak for all the committee members. This was very valuable. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rambl. Other questions, comments from anyone?
From Senator Kawasaki and Senator Holland, both in that order.
Go ahead, Senator Holland.
I was going to let Senator Kawasaki go first. I know he's been waiting for a while.
No, that's fine. But, I see you both on here. I hate to time it, so I apologize. I've got to switch between text thread to timing. So that's one of the downfalls. Being here by yourself, that's the way it works. So, Senator Kawasaki, you have the floor, sir. Go ahead.
I was going to defer to Senator Holland.
okay, no, one
I,
of you
I
go.
I have a question about the scope of practice, and I think, Annette, you actually mostly answered my questions. But I did have a question about the scope of practice for the speech pathologist side of things, and I might have skipped over that. If you could just basically repeat what you said.
Sure. So the quick version is speech therapists can provide cognitive assessments and cognitive retraining. One really dangerous stereotype is that they only work on lisps, stutters, or cleft palates, and that's not true. They can do swallow tests and can also do cognitive assessments and retraining. One example that a speech therapist gave to me was in the case of parking far away and having the additional physiological issue of heart rate and oxygen variability, having to walk across that parking lot and go shopping and then come back out, that led to cognitive fatigue and neurological overload, and they couldn't find their vehicle to go home. Being able to get that disability placard and park near the door, even if they are really tired, they know that their car is in that first row somewhere, and so they're more likely to be willing to take the risk to go shopping instead of have someone else do it, which maintains their independence and their ability to rebuild those brain connections after a head injury. So I don't know if that was a good example or not, but they can do all kinds of different cognitive rehabilitative strategies that are really helpful after a neurological acquired disability.
Senator Kawasaki,
That's very helpful. Thank you very much, Annette, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Kawasaki. Senator Holland, sir, go ahead.
And yes, I just wanted to thank Ms. Alfonsi, because the one question I did have was, how does a speech-language pathologist wrap into this? And I caught it when she came through the first time about cognitive fatigue and neurologic overload, and it was something I wouldn't have thought of. And I think, I don't know which committee this goes to next, but I would suggest the sponsor even maybe kind of mention that in there in case it, you know, flags in the next committee or something like that. But totally understand it based on Ms. Alfonsi's testimony. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Senator Holland. Senator Gray Jackson, might be something to consider. Sounds like that was very helpful for folks to understand it. I would mention, from a personal perspective, I have a sister-in-law that has a master's in this field, and the amount of work and seeing what they do and how they help people, especially younger children, is a lot of what they work with. But the ones you're talking about that have traumatic injuries, it is amazing to see what they can do with people that you could initially see lying in a hospital bed that seems like they're never going to function again or be able to be out there, and they're going to have to be cared for, and the cost and everything comes with it. You look at them 6 months later, and they are on their feet walking and talking, and they are a productive member of society again. It is impressive to see compared to even not that many decades ago when you kind of just left them to the side. So I have personal experience with it, and it's pretty amazing to watch. So thank you for that. Other questions or comments from committee members? Okay. Thank you very much. Senator Gray Jackson, final wrap-up comments before we finish this one, and then I'm going to close the public testimony.
I just want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the committee members for hearing, taking the public hearing, and I want to thank Annette and everybody who testified, but in particular Annette for being so thorough and answering questions that I probably could not have. So thank you again.
Okay, this time we're going to close public testimony on Senate Bill 47, and that also concludes our invited testimony. I'll say it again just to get it right. We do have, for those members in the committee that wish to submit amendments, just to close this up right, please have them to the office by Friday, March 26th at 5 p.m. We will set the bill aside for a future meeting. It's back on track. And what we're going to do here is continue, and our next meeting is going to be this Thursday, March 25th at 3:30 p.m. We're going to be hearing bills previously heard, governor appointees, and SB 102, amend the compact for a balanced budget, SB 2, peace officers de-escalate, SB 3, police officers oral warning de-escalate, SB 28, establish April 24 Alaska Constitution Day. I would remind committee members one more time that once I gavel us out, if you could just please come down to the room here. You only take a brief few seconds to sign the paperwork, and then you're cleared off again just to keep us separated as best we can, folks. And for those watching online, we're done early. This is never perfect, and this is certainly not the way we wish to do business, but, you know, kind of the thing, we can't have our cake and eat it too. If we're going to separate people, this is kind of what we need to be doing until we get past this and figure out a way to operate a little more efficiently and hopefully pass this whole COVID thing. So I do appreciate everybody's patience with the little burps we're having, but I think this makes it better to keep us separated longer. So appreciate, like I said, your patience for both the public, the folks that are helping us work here, and especially my committee members and staff as we work our way through it. And that being said, I'm going to go ahead and gavel out. I'll see you down here in a minute to sign the paperwork at 4:48 p.m. Thanks, everybody.